Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're making our way through the first chapter of the book of Revelation this week. Literally, we've been at it all week long and made it all the way to verse 8. Hope you've had a chance to listen to the programs. If you haven't, I encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. All the programs from this week are archived there. You can listen to them at your leisure whenever you'd like. I think the Lord helped us this week. I think the central thing I've been trying to talk about all week is the glory and majesty of Jesus. This is what captured the mind of John, the writer of the book of Revelation, who had a revelation of the glory of the King. I can't underline enough and emphasize enough how important it is for us to grasp who Jesus is in his glory and majesty and his beauty and his goodness, his mercy and his love, to live with a faith vision of who Christ is and one that really sinks deep into our hearts so that we live with the profound security that John himself found and that he was now communicating to the seven churches in Asia Minor who were in this powerful pagan world called the Roman Empire that was strongly resisting God and the rule of God and strongly resisting the revelation of Christ that's coming through this young Christian community that's emerging. These brothers and sisters in these seven churches were persecuted. They were marginalized. They had very little influence in society. And of course, even as small as they were a threat to the empire. Why? They were a threat to the empire because Rome had set up an emperor cult and tried to get people to believe and to sign on to a lie, ultimately, that the emperor was somehow a god. He was divine. He was kind of above everyone else. And so by making the emperor seem divine or godlike gives a significance to his rule and reign and to the empire and his government in the empire that's elevated beyond what it actually is. And that every subject in the empire, every person was meant to basically acknowledge the emperor cult, to play ball, and to offer incense to the emperor and the rest of it. Well, the Christian community couldn't do that. They weren't going to do that. That's idolatry. They weren't going to bend the knee. Remember what John said at the beginning of this letter, that he's made us, what, a kingdom of priests to serve God. That humanity, human beings are worship creatures. We're made that way by God. And you can see way back here in the first century, human beings are going to worship something. We're designed that way. We're made to offer our lives to God in worship, to make our life a pleasing sacrifice, a great yes to God, and offering up everything, our thoughts, our daily life, our words, our actions, to just do everything in Christ and to offer it to God the Father in love. God, Father, I'm your child. Today, everything that I do today, everything I say and do, I give it to you. I love you, Father, and I know it can be small. I know I can fail. Even when I fail, Father, I want to ask forgiveness today because I know I have access to you in your son Jesus. And I even want to offer up my sins so that Jesus can kill them and take them away and I can come into your presence secure and confident, Father. I want to offer myself to you. So this is what we're made for. This is what Jesus came to restore and make possible. And of course, the world apes it. The devil sets up idols for us to worship. It's been going on since the Tower of Babel. It's going on right now in our world, in our culture, all the time. In our culture, what do we worship? We worship the same old things, money, sex, power, all of that. Gold, honor, you name it. We pursue it. Jesus came to deal with it. Jesus came to show us the way forward, how to live. And so John the Apostle is now going to show us the consolation he received from the revelation of Jesus Christ as Lord that gave him the strength to be able to strengthen his people who are in this really, really difficult situation. So, verse 8, now it shifts. It's the Lord himself speaking prophetically to John. I am the Alpha and the Omega. This is the beginning and the end of the Greek alphabet, right? I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. So the Lord is it. He's the one. So He's the beginning and the end of all things. All things are in his hands. He always was, he always will be. We, on the other hand, are not the beginning and the end. There was a time when we were not. We're dependent, contingent, weak creatures. And we're made by a creator. And we're made for the creator. And to live a fulfilled life, a life of righteousness that is to be rightly ordered to God, is to be a creature who sees the gift of God's creating us, loving us, and making us his children, and living a life that's God-directed right from the core of our being, right from the heart. We're God-directed. We're not Hollywood-directed. We're not Vegas-directed. We're not Wall Street-directed. We're not ego-directed. We are God-directed. We live for God. We live in God. We live with God, right? So this is the one who calls us. Now, John has a vision. It says this, verse 9, I, John, your brother, who share with you in Jesus the tribulation and the kingdom and the patient endurance, was on the island called Patmos on account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. So he was sent there. God's word sent him there. The Lord sent him there. He was an apostle, a man on mission. And it's interesting what he says here, very interesting. First he said, I'm your brother. John is acutely aware that he's part of the family of God. And he's writing other fallen human beings like himself, and he calls them family. And he said, I share something with you. I share with you in Jesus the tribulation. Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulations, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. These Christian communities have been experiencing real tribulation. And John, a good pastor and a good shepherd, says, I'm with you in it. I'm experiencing it too. And you got to know that he's hearing the words of Jesus in his mind, in his memory. Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. The one who is the Alpha and the Omega, right? And he said, I'm with you in the tribulation and the kingdom. That he knows the kingdom has come. Jesus came to establish his rule and reign. The king is on his throne at the right hand of God. The kingdom of God has begun, and John knows that he's in it, and he's affirming the brothers and sisters that they're in it, that they're part of a whole new rule and a whole new reign, a new reality. The kingdom of God will never end. Guess what? Every civilization in this world will end. America's kingship at some point is going to come to an end, just like the British Empire has. Just like every other civilization that's ever been, will all pass away. But the kingdom of Jesus Christ, our Lord, will never pass away. John says he understands simultaneously the tribulation and the kingdom. These are both fundamental realities. Yes, we're in a struggle in this world, friends. There's trials, disappointments, persecution, marginalization, stigma, hostility against the kingdom of God. But the kingdom will never pass away, because the king is at the right hand of the Father, and the king is with us, is what John will see now, and the patient endurance. That's how you make it through this world. A disciple, a Christian, is one who endures till the end and does it patiently, trusting in God, not panicking, not freaking out, not giving up, surrendering, accommodating, but staying solidly in the kingdom. He says, when he was on the island called Patmos, on account of the word of God that sent him there, he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. So he was praying in the Holy Spirit, celebrating the Lord's day. And he said, I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet saying, write what you see in a book and send it to the seven churches of Ephesus, of Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Verse 12, then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me. I love that line. Then I turned to see. The voice of the Lord was speaking to him. And what did he see? Turning, I saw seven golden lampstands. The lampstands represent the seven churches. And in the midst of the churches, the lampstands, in the midst of the lampstands, one like the Son of Man. Now there's reference here to a vision of Daniel and Ezekiel in the Old Testament of the Son of Man. What is John beholding? The Spirit of God is helping John see the churches and their relationship to the Lord. He's the Son of Man. He's the Son of God. And he was clothed in a long robe with just kind of his authority, this long robe of the king, and it with a golden sash across his chest. His head and his hair were white like wool. He was, has the wisdom, the eternal wisdom of God, this one. White as snow, his eyes were like a flaming fire. He sees everything. Nothing escapes the gaze of the Lord. Friends, he knows everything about you, every cell in your body, every thought, every word, every deed, everything. No one can hide from the one to whom we all must render an account, St. Paul tells us. So his eyes are flaming fire and they penetrate right to the heart. He's the one who examines the intentions of the heart, the writer of Hebrews tells us. Verse 15, his feet were like burnished bronze and refined in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of many waters. Who is he? Who is this royal king? Who is he who is unlike any other? His right hand, he held the seven stars. He held seven stars. From his mouth issued a sharp sword. The seven stars represent those seven churches. First, he stands in the midst of those churches. Friends, the church right now is in a time of purification in the world. And in many places, it's very weak. It needs strength and renewal and restoration. Where does that come from? It comes from the Holy Spirit, both corporately and personally. It comes from receiving the strength we need from the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. And the Holy Spirit is strengthening John right here in these small churches that are under persecution and pressure, martyrdom happening among them, sin happening among them. I mean, real battles these people were fighting. The devil was working overtime on these churches, as he does today. What's God's solution? It's Jesus. It's a church when the church loses sight of the fundamental truths, what, that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus stands right in the midst of the churches. He's not gone anywhere. He's not absent. He hasn't checked out. He's here. The Great One, the Holy One, is with us. And he sees us, and he calls us to repent. And he speaks to us, and he speaks the truth to us. And we come under his discipline, which is beautiful. God disciplines those whom he loves. His mouth is like a two-edged sword. It issues from his mouth, and he communicates the truth of God. And his face was like the sun shining in full strength, the glory of the king. And here's John's response. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand upon me, saying, "Fear not, I'm the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I'm alive forevermore, and I hold the keys of death and Hades." Friend, this is a vision the church needs right now. We need to see the Lord and to fear not and declare that he's our king and come alive fully in him. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, What Happens When I Die, in which Ralph asks some very important questions. Is there life after death? What will it be like? How do my actions in this life affect what happens when I die? If you'd like a free copy of this booklet, you can go to 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.